I remember we were just getting ready for a major holiday, US holiday. And I think it was a Friday afternoon, and both of us, Bible college graduates, and getting ready for this holiday. And so, Pastor came up with this brilliant idea for us to put the flag up so we can have it flying for the holiday. And we unscrewed the bolts on the flagpole and didn't know how heavy the pole was. And then, when we released that thing, the pole just came tumbling down. So we bent the pole a little bit, and then we started straightening it out. And so the intention of taking down the flagpole was to put the flag on it. But we got so concerned about straightening the pole out and getting the pole back up that we did all that and got the pole up. And by the time we look up, we were thinking, there's one thing is missing from the pole. It was the flag. So that's what happens when you leave Pastor Dave and myself to take care of the flagpole. So I'm sure he has gotten much better now that Paul is here with him. So I wasn't much help to him then. But it's truly a privilege to be back at Open Door. I look forward to being here whenever I come here. Like I said, that if you want to keep in touch with us, I'm not sure if I made this clear, just it's on our website. Our website is on our prayer card. So you can just go on our website and you will see a tab for newsletter or prayer letter. You can just go on there and sign up and you will be added to our newsletter list. And if you want to keep up with us on a weekly basis, I just created this morning a Facebook page just for to be on Facebook, because everyone is on Facebook these days. And so that's where our world is going, which is okay. So if you want a weekly update from us, just go on my Facebook page and click follow. And I think every week when we put out a message concerning our progress on the Deportation Trail, you should see you should be added to it. Open Door is mission-minded. It's a mission-minded church. And I reminded Pastor just last night of my summer here when we raised $3,000 in pennies for that one missionary in I'm not sure where he is, but we raised 3,000 pennies, and that's how excited Open Door is about missions. And so this morning I won't be coming to you with a missions message. This morning, I want to encourage us. This morning, I want to encourage my wife. I want to encourage myself. I want to encourage the fellow believers here. We are living in a time where things are just seems to be getting worse. You are not sure when you're going to hear of the next attack on a major city. You're not sure when you're going to hear the next attack or in a school. You're not sure when you're going to hear about the next pastor that got involved with a sister, or you're not sure when you're going to hear the next disastrous story. And so we are living in a time of uncertainty. We're not sure when you're going to go to the doctor and what the doctor is going to say concerning your health. Well, this morning I want to encourage us concerning our God. Though there are these things happening around us, though there are people killing Christians today, though there are famine in some parts of the world, though there are homeless people and sleeping on the street, though there are disasters taking place all over the United States of America, our God is faithful. We are serving a God who is a faithful God. And no matter what you are going through, no matter what you are facing, no matter what's going on in society today, no matter what we are dealing with on a day-to-day basis in our life, it does not change who God is. It does not change the way God feels about us. It does not change the way God sees us. It does not change what God does for us on a daily basis. Our God is faithful. We sing this song on a regular basis, is how faithful our God is, and we sometimes don't think about the words that we sing. Sometimes we don't pay attention to what the songs are saying. And sometimes we read scripture and we do not really pay attention to what the scripture is trying to tell us concerning God. But if we take a close look on what we are reading, what we'll be reading today, we will see that our God is a faithful God. And if you will, this morning, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at verse 27 through to verse 31. And we're going to see here that our God is a faithful God no matter what the world is saying. I recently heard this statement, and I've heard it before over and over in our society, where people are saying that I no longer believe that there is a God. I no longer believe in God. And some of the reasons why people will say this is because they will say, well, if there is a God, then why do we have so many violence in the world? If there's a God, why do we have so many sick people in the world? If there's a God, why do we have famine in the world? If there's a God, why do we have all these bad things happening? These bad things happening does not mean that there is no God, because this text is, these people are saying the same thing concerning the God whom they serve. And but God is going to make it known, God is going to make it clear to these people that it is not that he does not exist, it's not that he does not know about it, but it's because of them. So Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 27, Isaiah, he is writing to these people. And here's a question that he posed to them in the first, that God is posing to them. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Here, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Truly, O Lord, your word is truth. You are a faithful God from the first day until now. Lord, there is no changing with you. You are faithful, O Lord, that you woke us up this morning. That, Lord, you put us in our right mind. That you provided for us and you brought us here, O Lord, to hear your word of truth. I pray, God, as I stand before your people this morning, that only your word will be spoken. That your Holy Spirit will minister to each and every one of us as he sees fit. Encourage our hearts to thee, O Lord. In Christ's name I pray and ask. Amen. The 40th chapter of Isaiah begins a section of the book that deals primarily with preparing the people of Judah as they were preparing to go into their 70 years of captivity in Babylon, in the Babylonian country. Now, God, who is faithful, is preparing his people for one of the most difficult times of their life. And as he was preparing them, God, knowing that there were still people in that country or in Judea who was still faithful to him, God was writing so that they can be encouraged, that they can know that God is still with them, even when they are not in the chosen city. Even when they are not in the land that God has prepared for them, that they are serving a faithful, they are serving a just God who will be with them no matter where they are, no matter what they are doing, no matter what they are going through, he will always be there for them. And so God, he inspired, he is inspiring this text, and he wanted his people to be encouraged that as they are getting ready to go into captivity, he wanted them to know that he is faithful. God also wants us to know that no matter what we are going through in our life, no matter what we are facing, no matter how hopeless things might seem, he is faithful. He is faithful, and he will show up when he sees fit. When he sees fit. If you go back to chapter 39, you will realize that God, that there was a king at this time, and he was about to die, and God told him that his soul is required of him, that he was about to die. Hezekiah was about to die, but Hezekiah said, Lord, if you just permit me just a little bit more time, I want to live. And God was so gracious, and he said, okay, Hezekiah, I will give you 15 more years to live. 15 more years to live on this earth. Now, wouldn't that be amazing if someone is about to die and say, Lord, I just want a little bit more time just to witness. I want just a little bit more time just to preach. I want just a little bit more time just to see, just to be with my family. And God said, I will give you another day. This one king, he got 15 years from God. And after he recovered from his sickness, Babylon came up to visit because they were amazed that this man was about to die. And now he's healthy, he's back, and he's reigning again. And so the Babylonian people came up just to see what was going on. And so this king thought, you know what? Because these people came all the way from Babylon to see what I have or what's going on in my life, I am going to show them everything in my country. I am going to show them my wealth. I am going to show them everything in my house. I'm going to show them how rich and how powerful I am. Well, that was not a good idea. Because I think these men, they went back to Nebuchadnezzar and said, Nebuchadnezzar, this man is rich. Let's take it for ourselves. And because of this, God said, all that you have in the previous verses, all that you see, all that's in your father's house will be taken to Babylon. God is going to deliver Judah into captivity, but even though this is going to take place, I am faithful. I want you to have hope. I want you to know that I will be with you. I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. It will be difficult. It will be hard for you there. You will have difficult times. You will be in captivity. You will be in chain. You will be forced to work. You will be served to serve another king. But I will be with you. I am faithful. I want you to have hope. But this is what they were feeling. My way is hidden from my Lord. And my just claim is passed over by my God. God does not care about me anymore. God does not love me. God is sleeping. If God was not sleeping, then why is it that the church seems as if it is falling apart? If God is sleeping, then why did we get so much snow this past week? If God is still on the throne, why am I going through this sickness? Why do I have this pain in my back? Why do I have this pain in my neck? Why do I have this pain that I'm facing on a day-to-day basis? If God is still on the throne, then why are all these bad things happening in this country? If God is still on the throne, why did I lose my job that I spent so many years working on, that I spent so many hours putting into this job? Then if God is still on the throne, why are all these things taking place in my life? If God is still on the throne, why are my kids being the way they are? If God is still on the throne, why is my husband being the way he is? If God is still on the throne, why is my wife being the way she is being? If God is still on the throne, why are we living in a world tainted by sin? If God still cares about me, why is my life the way it is right now? We are living in a world where people are searching for hope. People, they watch the news and they see all this happening and they're searching for hope. They're looking for hope in many different places and they're looking for hope in the wrong places. Today I want us to remember that our God, who created this world, who created all things, that he is faithful. No matter what you are going through, no matter how hopeless things are in your life, that you are serving a faithful God and you can have hope. So where do I see this in the text? God is asking the question, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my ways are hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not heard? Have you not heard? Have you not known the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all of the ends of the earth, that he neither faints nor is he weary? The first truth I want to share with us this morning, three fundamental truths about God and his character. And the first fundamental truth I want to share with us this morning is that God knows your situation. God knows your situation, and you see this in the text. God is asking the question, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the Father, the creator of all things, that he neither sleeps nor is he weary? One person said this in an article that he wrote. He said, you know, if God would miss just one thing, one detail about my life, I would be in big trouble. If God should miss just one detail in my life, I would be in big trouble. And what that would mean is that God is no longer perfect. And if God is not perfect, I do not want to be in a world where he is not. But here are these people, and they're saying to themselves, God does not know about me anymore. He has hidden himself from me. He does not know about my just claim. He does not know anything about me anymore. And so they are hopeless. But here God is trying to prepare his people. As we're walking into captivity, God wants them to know that I know. Church, you're not going there because it is happening by chance. You are going there because I allow it to happen in your life. You are going into captivity because I sanctioned it, because I called them up to deliver punishment. I am allowing you to go into punishment. Didn't happen by chance. It's not happening because I was sleeping. It's not happening because I was tired. It's not happening because I fainted. But it's happening because I permitted it to happen. Church, this is true about us, that no matter what's going on in your life, God knows about it. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're feeling. He knows how you're dealing with it. And he knows you're concerned. He knows your concerns, and he knows it. He knows what you're facing. How do we know this? Because it says here in the text that don't you know the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all things, that he is not weak. Our God is not weak. He neither faints nor is he weary. God is not taking a vacation in Jamaica. He is not sitting there on the beach saying, man, I need a week of vacation because every single day people are coming to me with their problem. Don't they know I need some? God is not on a vacation. God is not taking time off. He's not taking a nap. But he is not weary. He's not fainting, because he is the perfect. He is the all-powerful. He is the all-knowing God. There is nothing new under the sun concerning God. God knows everything that we are going through, even before the foundation of the world. David said that if I make my bed in hell, God is there with me. And if I take the wings of the dove and fly to the uttermost parts of the earth, he knows about it. No matter where I am, no matter what I'm going through, no matter how difficult it might be, church, God is aware of your circumstances. God is aware of what you're going through. God is aware about your circumstances, church. It might seem as if you're all alone. There is no one else to call on. No one cares about your situation. No one cares about your job. No one cares about your finances. No one cares about your pain. No one cares about your concerns. God knows. He knows what you're going through. Not only does God know, we see in the text though, but we also see that God is capable. God is capable. The question again that Isaiah is asking, have you not known? Have you not heard? Isaiah inquires of the believers, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. God is capable. God is not sleeping. God is not taking a rest. God is not taking a break. God is not weary. God is not tired of your prayers. God is not tired of your concern. God is not tired of your trouble. God is capable. So Isaiah wants the people to know that not only is God aware of your circumstances, because a lot of us we are aware of someone else's circumstances, but we can't do anything. But according to Isaiah, God is aware, not just aware, but he can. He can change your circumstances. He can change your situation. He can move in your situation. And Isaiah wanted them to know that God is capable. God is capable of doing the impossible. Oftentimes we try to equate God, or we try to see God from a human perspective. We try to see God with human limitations. And we try to think, God is tired of my prayers right now. We have sister so-and-so praying for their health. We have sister so-and-so praying for finances. We have such and such a person praying for something else. God must be tired of hearing our prayers. God's resources is running dry. God is able. No matter how deep your circumstances may be, no matter how difficult your circumstances may be, no matter what you are going through, no matter how hopeless the situation might seem, church, God is able. I share with you my story about going to Mozambique. I did not see a way out. I didn't have any money because I was paying for a school bill. I didn't have anything else to do, but I didn't see a way out. But God showed up right when he needed to. God was able to raise that money. God was able to put things together. And I know you have stories where God showed up when you didn't have any other way. I also shared the story of a time when my life was in danger, and I fell into the ocean, and I cannot swim well. But my life was in danger, and I was crying out for God for help, and God showed up just in time. I know God is capable. That God has the resources to supply all our needs. That God has the resources to heal you when you are sick. That God has the resources to heal your marriage. God has a relationship to get the ability to get you a job. That God has the ability to make whatsoever your concerns in your life to make it work. There is no searching of his understanding. God understands what you're going through, and because he understands what you're going through, God is able to work things out in your life. God neither faints nor is he weary. There is a vastness about the reach and depth of the power that God has. There is no circumstances too great for God to deal with. You can't be somewhere on earth where God cannot reach you. Some things might be so simple, and you're thinking, God doesn't care about this. God has ISIS to worry about. God has the Middle East to worry about. God has people in the White House to worry about. God doesn't have any time for me. Church, that is not true. God knows each and every one of us. Knows everything about each and every one of us. God wants to hear from each and every one of us. And so Isaiah wanted the believers, as they were going to be ushered into captivity, they wanted them to know that God knows about it. He wanted them to know that God is capable of delivering. Okay, so I have some money. I know about your problems, and I am able to solve your problems. That's good. But God does not only know about your problem. He does not only have the capability to know and to do, but God, the final thing, truth about God, we see in the text, is that God is available. God is available. He is available. See in verse 29 says, he gave a power to the faint, speaking of him being able, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength, speaking of him being capable. But now we can look at this verse and see that God is also available because he understands their circumstances. But now he is available to give them power. He's available to give them strength. He's available to renew them. That he says that even the young men shall faint and be weary, and the young men, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait on him shall renew their strength. Everyone who waits on God shall renew their strength. God is available to give you strength. God is available to give you strength. You remember the passage where Paul says, Lord, I have approached God three times daily about the thorn in my flesh, and God did not remove that thorn, but God says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient, Paul, that I will not take it away from you, but I will help you to go through this difficult time. In a faraway land, as Israel is in captivity, preparing to be in captivity, God is saying, Israel, we are no longer in Jerusalem. We are no longer in the Holy Land, in a land where they worship idols, in a land where they curse the God of heaven, in a land where they have no regard for who I am. Because if you read the rest of Isaiah, you will hear God judging Babylon for their disregard of God. And God said, in this land where no one cares about me anymore, where no one takes the time to pray to me, where no one takes the time to offer sacrifices to me, I am available to meet your needs. In a country where no one wants to hear the name of God anymore, where no one wants to hear Jesus being mentioned in the school, where no one wants to hear Jesus be mentioned in the workplace, no one wants to hear the name of God mentioned anymore. God is saying that I am aware of that. God is saying I am capable to work in that society, and I am available to work in that society. I am available to work in that society. The young men shall fail. The youth shall falter. But if you wait on me, I will renew your strength. I will renew that strength that you have. I heard Pastor Dave yesterday was looking back at times when he was able to do some things when he was younger. And I also am looking back at myself when I could do some things when I was younger too. And you're thinking, well, you are still a young man, Junior. I am, but still you find your body slowing down after a time. And he was just looking back, and he's realizing that his sons are getting older, and as they increase, he's going to decrease. But church, it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how old we are. God says that if we wait on him, it says that he will give us strength. He will give us power. He will give us the thing that we need to overcome whatsoever circumstances we are in. He will supply whatsoever we need to overcome the sickness we have. He will give us whatsoever we need to overcome the trials we face. He will give us whatsoever we need to deal with whatever we are dealing with in life. But we have to wait on him. I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to help God out. Sometimes I pray and said, well, I prayed about it, but maybe I can help God out a little bit. Sometimes I like to be like Abraham. When God promised him that he will give him a seed, Abraham said, well, God did promise, so I'm going to help him out a little bit. I'm going to take one of my maidservants. I'm going to help God out. But God says, if we wait, it might be difficult. Waiting means that you need to be patient. Waiting means that you have to wait on him. You have to allow him to work on his timing. You have to allow God to do the work. Actively waiting on God, church, to work out your situation in your life. And he will renew your strength. He is available to give you strength. But you must wait. You must wait on him. This passage has been a great encouragement to me as we start on the deputation. Because there are so many things happening around. There are so many things to consider. But when I read this passage, God encouraged my heart with it. I'm not doing this in my own strength. $31,000. How are we going to get $31,000? God reminded me, I am faithful. The one who called you is faithful. Church, I want to encourage you this morning. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you are facing in life. It might be simple to some of us. But God knows about it. He knows the burden. He knows the weight that it is bearing on your heart. He knows exactly how you're dealing with it. He knows the pressure you're under. He's aware of it. Not only is he aware of it, but he is capable, church. He is capable to work through those situations. But he is available. Wherever we are, fall on our knees before him. Lord, I'm bringing my concerns to you. I'm bringing my job to you, my family to you, my pains to you. I'm bringing all these things to you because you are faithful. You created the world. You are faithful. Will you trust God this morning? Have hope in him? Will you have hope in him this morning? No matter what's going on in your life, you might be at the brink of saying, God, I'm going to give it up. Trust in God. He is faithful if you wait on him. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for your word. Thanks for your grace and your mercies, oh Lord. Truly indeed, you are faithful. You are a God that we can depend on. You are a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. You are a God that is working on our behalf. You are God, O Lord, who is waiting to hear from us. Lord, I do not know what everyone else here is dealing with. I do not know what their concerns are. I do not know what they are worried about, O God. But we are thankful, Lord, that you are a faithful God, that you are waiting to hear our prayers. You are waiting to hear from us. Help us, O God, to trust your faithfulness. We're thankful to you and your goodness to us. In Christ's name, amen.